What up, y'all? It's your boy Chip Fool, and I'm chilling with the Odd Man. And you're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop. Stay tuned, people, and keep it locked. I'm here with the Odd Man. Peace.
Turn up the bass.
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
What's going on? It's the Odd Man here, and you got it locked down with the Kings, and I'm pleased to be joined by my next guest, who was part of a group back in the early 90s, the Fushnikins, that made a lot of noise, got a lot of people's attention, and had a whole lot of fun. I'm talking about none other than my man, Chip Fu. Chip, what's happening, man?
What's happening, Mr. Odd Man? I'm here, man. How you been?
Good. Things are good. Good to talk to you again, and good to hear that you're in good spirits as always, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I wanted to get your perspective as a guy that that was in the industry, took a break from it and come back a little bit. And then, you know, I know you're heavy into music, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But just kind of get your perspective on the industry then and now, because it's changed a lot.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I think that the internet played a big part in it because it has leveled the playing field between the internet. I mean, between the independents and majors. And it makes things a lot easier by erasing the middleman and actually being able to get your product directly to your families, which is pretty cool. But at the same time, there's a lot of overnight success, and there's a lot of people that have not paid the dues in which they should have. And a lot of them are just basically computer MCs and not MCs that actually had to go through, you know, battles and get the scar tissue from, you know what I mean? Basically holding down your name and repping the culture itself.
Right. And I think when you sort of talk about the overnight successes, there's a whole lot of them out there. You know, I've gotten these conversations before, and, you know, one of the things we kind of come back to is the fact that it just sort of waters things down a whole lot because you've got, you almost can't tell the real from the fake almost, right?
Exactly. It just seems at some point that since everybody is not at, being creative, it's just like everybody sounds the same for one, and it just seems that the volume is being turned up on the same song, you know what I mean? And it gets monotonous, but it's several people that are doing the same song over in the same cadence, basically. So it seems like the volume is just being turned up on that particular style of hip-hop, I should say.
Right. So it all sounds like the one artist.
Exactly.
So when we talk about being unique and standing out, because obviously that, as an artist, that's something that you want to be able to do, is stand out and have your own sound.
Definitely.
How do you do that in this time and era?
Well, in this time and era, no disrespect to any MCs. There's a handful of MCs that I give props to, but it just seems like no one is actually trying to push the envelope when it comes to lyrics. So I basically just have to be myself. I think I'm cut from a different cloth from a lot of people because the majority of the time I make sure that my lyrics stand out and I try to basically outdo myself every time I do music. But nowadays, I think following fashion is what people do, and I was never brought up as that type of artist, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, sort of talking about, you know, standing out, you know, when the Fushnikins jumped on the scenes, that's exactly what you did. I mean, you guys are rhyming backwards and the offbeat, and you guys are doing it all. How long did it take you to develop that style of this is how we're going to do it?
Well, it didn't take long. My thing was I was always rhyming from early, like from the age of 11, and I was always trying weird stuff. But when I finally was able to find a platform to do what I was doing, you know, it was easy for me because I just started digging into old stuff that I was doing. But to actually get to the point where people started understanding all the technical work that went into it is when I knew that I had something special.
The initial reaction from listeners or fans when they first heard you, what sort of things were you hearing from people? Because, again, you were very, very unique, definitely, at that time.
Thank you very much. I think that the initial reaction was a lot of people thought that what I was doing was done in the studio and that I was never able to do it live. That was one. And a lot of people asked me if I was from a different country or was I talking a different language at some point. But then when people started reading the notes within the albums and understanding that you know, people from other countries are actually coming down to see if I was actually rhyming backwards like these these English majors from Germany came down to find out if I was actually rhyming backwards and had me do it to tape and then play it backwards and play it forwards. And then once they found out that I was able to do that, then, you know, what it did was actually take me to another level as an MC, because a lot of people didn't know that that could actually be done, because I wasn't doing it with tape and playing it backwards and forwards. It was
right.
just me just saying that the word actually would sound like this with different sounds or whatever, you know what I mean? So once those dudes said that, you know, it is what it is when people, you know, actually took notice, like, you know, people that were writing books and, you know, English teachers or whatever.
Right. Right, right. That had to be crazy. Come on, Chip. I mean, here you are, you know, you're just getting creative, and all of a sudden English majors want to check you out. That's got to be crazy.
Yeah, it had to be. And then when my mother was telling me, you see what happens when I send you to your room, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, you know, I had to find something to do. But, you know, after a while, and, you know, people started taking notices when I knew I had something special, and I just started pushing, you know, pushing it as much left field as I could have, you know what I mean?
Right, 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 right. The other thing that you guys did quite frequently often is, you know, you introduce sort of cartoon lyrics and a lot of fun into that as well. And I think what that did immediately, because, I mean, you know, everyone loves cartoons, right? I mean, I think you got people's attention, and they sort of felt closely connected to what you were saying or doing. Did people start comment on that to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think now even when people hit me up on Twitter, they would say a line from a verse that I said. And I'd start laughing because it's something that I actually watched as a kid, you know, on the Cartoon Network or whatever. So for them to even repeat it, even the kids that are younger now that are actually digging and finding the Fushnikin records and them just reciting my verse or typing my verse to me, you know, I think that after that, it just basically knows that all that cartoon watching, you know, came into play, and I mean, it made sense back then, and it's actually making sense now.
What's the most common line of yours that you said that people recite back to you? The most common one you get?
Leave it to Beaver, Ariva, Dirty. A lot of people recite that and type that to me, or I'm a rowdy the piper. They always recite, like people that watch a lot of wrestling, they would recite, or I would see my name tagged in something like that, watching the old Rowdy Piper wrestling, you know, docs or whatever, and I'd just be like, oh, wow, you know, I'm tagged in this or whatever. It's pretty cool, though.
Hey, you ever meet Roddy Piper?
Never met him.
Wouldn't that be cool, man? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, man, it'd be cool. It really would be.
For sure. The other thing, too, that was introduced, and so again, we're talking what the Fu meant and all the things it represented, so that martial arts element, and I guess a lot of kung fu movies back in the day sort of influenced that as well, your styles.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was totally different because I was born with respiratory problems. So when I were watching cartoons or the karate movies when I was younger, they overcame basically the problems that they basically were faced. So that's when the whole commitment to the karate came into play. And to see that I overcome the respiratory problems and was able to rhyme at the speeds that I were rhyming at, you know what I'm saying? That was an accomplishment for me. And that's something that people never knew, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They only heard the music, but they didn't know that there was a seriousness behind the wearing of the gis and the martial arts and everything also.
Right, right. Now, that's pretty deep. I mean, again, because there's more behind what you see the presented, right? So it's put out there, and you're just seeing the fun, whatever. When you got more deep in that, I think that's what makes it even more important to you as the artist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Sure. I like that. I like that. The Fu, I mean, you know, when you sort of think about their place in sort of the hip hop world, where do you think they all fit in when it's all said and done? You have, you know, this is, we're looking back 20 years or so, and I mean, I can't believe it's been 20 years, but you know, we're looking about 20 years. You know, when it's all said and done, where do you think the Fu fits into the whole hip hop landscape?
I think what's going to happen is it's going to take a while for people to really understand what we've done. Like, when you think about it, the whole martial arts element was done way before Wu-Tang Clan. The whole rhyming backwards and stuttering with different words and rhyming off beats and on different patterns, we did that. And we also did reggae too. So one act that basically a lot of other MCs took pieces from is our group. You know what I mean? And no one could actually say that they didn't do that or whatever. And even introducing Shaq into the game, there's a lot that we did, but a lot of people still try to downplay it, but they know where all that stuff came from. So I think at the proper time when people dig and our name comes up is when you're actually going to hear about those things. Right now, people are still, you know, other MCs who got a lot more shine, but they borrowed some lines from me. It's all right. They can have their shine. But when it's time, you know, when real understands real, when it's time to really speak about it and it comes out, then, you know, I'll basically say I had this conversation before with the odd man, and he can vouch for it.
That's it. That's it. I'm there for you, man. I'm there for you. You know, you mentioned Shaq, and you know it's so funny when you look at him now. I mean, he's obviously long past the game, but you know, in his time, he was doing a whole bunch of stuff, including rapping and rhyming. He did that song "What's Up, Doc" with you guys. Tell me the first time you're in the booth with him. What you thought? Because again, he's 7'2" guy, 300+ pounds. He's a baller. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he picks up the mic and starts, you know, killing it.
I think the first thing that a lot of people don't know about Shaq is that he can actually DJ. Like, before he even touched the mic, stepping into the studio, he was mixing and blending records and scratching. Now, that is incredible because his hands are huge.
Right.
And to mix and blend with a mixer, now I'm not talking about CDJs, I'm talking about records.
Yeah.
Mixing and blending records was incredible. And then to hear him say, well, I got verses and step into the booth, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? And all he needed was some simple guidance, and after giving him that, he became a monster.
He did that. He did quite well.
That's history. A lot of other MCs from in the NBA tried, but it never worked. It never quite worked out for them. So, you know, that's another place in history, too, that I could say that, you know, me and my group actually brought to the masses, which was introducing NBA players to the mic.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, and I don't think, you know, when you look at to the degree, I mean, he sold albums. There's no question about that. He sold a whole lot of them. And he easily, if he wanted to stop playing basketball, could have focused on music and done a lot of great things because he was just that talented.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the fool was there, man. The fool was there.
Yeah, man, we were there from the inception, man. I was just like, yo, it's beautiful to see. And I'm blessed to, you know, to say that, you know, when it was time for him to enter into the game or whatever, he was like, you know, I want to be like my favorite MC, which was me. And at that time, I was like, yo, you know, for him to be first-round draft pick and all that other good stuff and to pick me, I just looked at that as a blessing. And, you know, at this point, I'm just appreciative still.
Chip, how does that describe how that feels when someone looks at you and says, you know, you are my favorite MC, given that everything that you've done was from that standpoint of trying to be creative and trying to be fresh and trying to give something back, and someone comes back and goes, yeah, you know what, man, you were my favorite MC. How does that feel?
It's weird because back then when I was super focused on it, it was weird. You know what I mean? When I was super focused on being creative and different. Now, with the new stuff that I'm putting out, you know, some of the stuff is like straight up dancehall and reggae music and singing mixed with all sorts of verses and, you know, the crazy rhyme skills or whatever. It's weird now because people are like, yo, I followed you. So you would, because of the internet, you would never know what a fan in Tanzania is thinking. But they can get online now and say, yo, I've followed your whole entire career, and, yo, you inspire me. You know what I mean? It's totally different back then because you'd run into a fan that'll say that to you. But now, with social media, they're able to tweet you or hit you on Facebook inbox and say, yo, you taught me A, B, C, and D. And some of these people, like there's an artist called Grubson in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest artist in Poland. I was invited to Poland to perform on the same bill with him, and he got on stage and said he learned how to speak English by reading the inside of the albums that we put out and by mimicking my, he learned how to rhyme by mimicking my lyrics. Now, you know, without social media or any of these things, you wouldn't have been able, he would have never been able to tell me that. So I think in this day and age, and people are reaching out to me and saying what they're saying now that they've always wanted to say, I mean, it's incredible, man.
It is. It truly is.
I'm humbled.
Yeah, no, it truly is, and I think it's something that artists coming into the game now really need to be understand and prepared for, because as much as, and especially now with social media, as much as people can say to you, you're the great, you're the best, I love you, they also can tell you how they really feel about their music if they don't like you. So you got to be prepared to temper the goals, because they're coming.
Exactly. One thing that I have to be blessed about is no one ever actually got on there and was like, yo, I can't stand you. Everything has just basically been positive. So I think it just lets me know what I'm doing is worth it. So, yeah.
Right. I also want to talk about some of the collaborations that you've done, because you've done a whole lot. And I think if I were to think about one that the Foo were you specifically a part of, I think Last Move for me was one of the ones that stands out. You had Fife from Tribe on that. When you sit down and collaborate with a group or an artist or others that you're not familiar with, how long does it take to sort of figure out how to make it all work? Because I'm assuming there's an adjustment period of some sort, isn't there?
No, not really. I mean, sometimes it'll be like the producer, which would be Ali Shaheed, would come in with a beat and play it, and we'd be like, all right, well, these are the MCs that we want on the record, and we all come together, and everybody just goes into their little space in the room and comes up with what they need to come up with. I think even on the first album, when we did, there's a record we did with Black Sheep.
Okay.
And we all sat in one room and came up with our verses, and it was just incredible. I think it was one of the first times that, I had to actually think of something, because it wasn't just me and my bandmates. It was myself plus another group. And it was also the same way when Arsenio did his last performance, when all the MCs came out there. So you have Wu-Tang, Naughty by Nature, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, MC Light, my gosh, so many other MCs on there,
yep.
Mad Lion, KRS, and us. And we had to actually sit down and come up with our own verses in one studio room. So at that point in time, it's basically like, yo, it's the top of the tier. All these MCs are the top MCs from the 90s that are in one room.
Yep.
And we basically had to come up with a song. And it wasn't about, we had to remove egos and
right.
put all those other things aside, basically, to give Arsenio his farewell.
And that definitely was a big moment. I mean, Naughty by Nature was on that too, if I recall correctly.
Exactly,
like,
Naughty by Nature, Dice Effects, Guru. You know what I mean? And it's kind of strange because, when you watch that flick now, I mean, when you watch that video, Guru was no longer here, and neither is Older
right.
Than Bastards. So
right.
To be able to say that I was there at the time when that song was created, it means
yep.
it means a lot more to me. You know what I'm saying? Being part of hip hop history on that level.
It does. That definitely was history. Another song that you're a big part of is Roll With The Flavor, which is another one, The Flavor you
yes.
together. That was another big, big tune because, again, you had another collection of artists that just were at the prime at that moment.
Yeah, man, I love that tune. I mean, there was a video that was made, behind the scenes of that Roll With The Flavor, and Apache was on it. R.I.P. to him, too, because he's no longer here. And to hear him say what he said about me being, a creative MC, and I probably have two tongues in my head or something like that, it's kind of cool because, I looked up to him, So it's incredible, man, to think about, certain people that are here and that's not, And I'm just thankful that, God allowed me to be here now and still be able to do what I do and to actually, talk to people about the roads that I've crossed,
No doubt. Let's talk about what you're doing now and give people, get fans a chance to get up to speed with what you got going on and
music.
Feel very much about it, and I'm glad to it hasn't left you.
No, it hasn't left me, man. I'm thankful for that too. I started my own video and independent record company called Black Ink, which is doing pretty well, man, with a lot of indie artists. And I'm also working with some artists in Canada. That's, it's kind of funny. I'm working with an artist called Smokes, who should be dropping his single pretty soon for spring. I also started a workshop initiative called MATH, which is an acronym for Music Appreciation, Art, Time, and Healing, where we come into schools and teach about, music from its inception of recording to basically signing contracts, actually. So It's a school initiative that's actually being turned into curriculum as we speak. So I'm happy and proud about that. But there's a lot going on my end, man. Really.
And that initiative, it's MATH, you said, right? It's the acronym?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's very much the business side of it, which isn't something that's really out there a whole lot. I mean, oftentimes, mm-hmm. when you think about back, you know, in your day, you had to learn by experience, trial by fire kind of thing.
Exactly. So I think that everything that I actually learned, you know, from back in the days has put me in position now to be able to teach it to all these artists that are coming up, or just people in general that are interested in just learning about the music. You know what I mean? I think that being prepared is a plus, instead of walking into situations blind and then having to, you know, get, you know, sign on to those crazy contracts where it's like one for you, nope, one, two, three for me. You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy, but enjoy it.
No bug buddy trick, man.
Exactly.
No doubt. Well, look, Chip, man, I appreciate you taking the time and chopping it up like this. We're gonna get into some of your new music here and give people a chance to hear what you've been up to. And where can they find you, Chip? Tell our listeners where they can find you if they want to connect with you.
Man, they could find me on Instagram at Chip Fu. They could find me on Twitter at Chip Fu. They could find me on Facebook, Chip Fu, or Roderick Chip Fu Roachford. I mean, any other place in that is cool. On the website, www.chip-fu.com. Just come by and see what's going on. And I will be launching the site for MATH, Music Appreciation, Art, Time, and Healing, pretty soon. And so all those schools out there that are looking for a brand-new school initiative to keep these youths engaged, hit me up, and we'll make sure that that happens.
Nice. Well, look, we'll definitely make sure our listeners have are connected to all of that. Thanks again, Chip, for rolling through Down the Kings. To our listeners, we'll be right back.
All right.